he had to go somewhere. It means he had to be in one place, go somewhere, and then come back. And so we're going to be studying more about Jesus than we are about that. But as we get into tonight then, we're focusing on this passage to begin with in Revelation chapter 12, because this is actually the passage that that everybody was talking about up until September 23rd, when, you know, September 23rd just became a regular day. And this is the passage that was all about. But let's talk about what's happening here, because this is going to lead us back to the book of Genesis, and even prior to the book of Genesis, as we start to back up now and look at the entire picture of Jesus Christ. So what is happening here? There are a lot of people, they have questions, they wonder, so when did this happen? When did Satan rebel against God? Is that what this war in heaven is talking about? You know, what is the deal with Satan? I mean, we know who God is. We know who Jesus is. We know who Satan is. He's identified here. He's called the dragon. He's called the devil. Satan. God wanted to make that old serpent. God wanted to make sure that we put a lot of pieces together here, didn't he? He said, hey, by the way, this great dragon, that's how he's pictured in Revelation. He was pictured as a serpent in the book of Genesis. He was called the devil many times. He's also called Satan. He's also called Lucifer. So, you know, he wanted to make sure we knew who was being talked about here. And but the question that we ask ourselves is, so when did he go bad? I mean, when did he go bad? When was he ever good? Yeah, the Bible says actually there was beauty found in him, that he was the most beautiful of all God's creations. He was the anointed cherub. That means kind of in some ways he was God's favorite kind of thing. Not, you know what I mean by that. I mean, speaking, you know, a little bit facetiously but he was really something great until sin was found in him. And so we ask ourselves, and I think we often wonder, so when was that? Was that before Adam? Was that like way before Adam? Well, we have some clues to that. Well, we know that he had to have rebelled against God prior to Adam. Why? How do we know that? Yeah, he was in the garden. He was the serpent in the garden trying to get Adam to go bad. So we know that sometime before God created Adam, that Satan was a being. He was alive, and he had gone bad at some point. We also know the book of Isaiah talks about how he exalted himself. So we know that he was way before Adam. And so the question then is, you know, we ask ourselves, so when did that happen? People often then come to a verse. Oh, let's see, I think we passed over. Can we go back to verse number 7, Tammy? So then we ask ourselves then, and people oftentimes then, they come to a verse like this one and they mistake this as that time when he rebelled. Notice, and there was war in heaven. So I want to be very clear right from the start here. This war in heaven that we're talking about here in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 12, that actually takes place right in the middle of the book of the Revelation. It also takes place kind of in the middle of what we know about Jesus. It takes place in the future. This hasn't taken place yet. There's going to be a war in heaven. All right, so I want to clear some of this up. Satan rebelled against God, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he went to war with God. He rebelled against God, and he said, remember the book in the chapter in Isaiah chapter 14? Do you remember that wording if you've read that? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will take the place of God, basically is what he said. He was expressing to the other angels what he was going to do. He said, you're worshiping him. I am going to be that. You need to give me your allegiance. You need to follow me because I am going to exalt I am going to take over heaven. And so, but he didn't do it then. So when he rebelled against God in his heart, the Bible says, God saw the wickedness, the sin in him. That's when God then basically disowned him, and he went from being Lucifer, that anointed cherub, to being the enemy of God. But that's not what this war in heaven is. See, that took place long before Adam. That rebellion took place before Adam. This doesn't take place until the future. This hasn't happened yet, this war in heaven. It's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. And so we want to make sure we get this right. So this is talking about Satan's actual attempt, I mean, a literal war where he will gather his armies, and this is a war in heaven. This is not Armageddon, by the way. Armageddon takes place on this earth. We'll talk about that too. This is a literal war in heaven. So right now, Satan is amassing an army. He is gathering, he is training his army. And there's going to come a day when he will go to literal war with God. It's going to be his last ditch effort to try to take over heaven. That has not happened yet, but it's going to happen according to these verses. And so this occurs actually at the midpoint of something that we call the tribulation. I'm gonna give you a timeline here. Just kind of stay with me here. A lot of this, some of you already know this. Some of you recognize these terms. Some of you, this is all brand new too. So just hang in there. This is a long study. But this actually occurs halfway into a seven-year period of time that we call the tribulation, or the Bible calls it the tribulation. It's broken into two halves, 3.5 years and 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years are called the tribulation. The second 3.5 years are called the great tribulation. Other places of Scripture, it calls the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob representing the nation of Israel. And the reason for that is it's going to be a horrible time for the nation of Israel. It's going to be a terrible time. In fact, it's going to be a terrible time for anybody left on earth. But it's going to be a terrible time for Israel because Satan is going to go to war and try to destroy the nation of Israel. So let's take a look at the context here then as we get into this, and then I'll explain to you why we're starting here, and then we're going to go back to the time before Adam. Let's go back to chapter 12 and verse number 1. Let's get the context of this. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now, as I read this and as we talk through this, I want you to picture in your mind a timeline. I want you to picture the events as they're going to happen or as they've already happened. I'm going to read this verse, and I'm going to ask you, has this already happened? Is it happening now? Or is it going to happen in the future? Okay, everybody with me? It's going to be quiz time. We're all going to vote. I know you hate that, but we're going to. All right, here we go. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. This is what that idiot was talking about that said the earth was going to be destroyed on September 23rd. The sun was actually in the constellation Virgo, which represents a virgin, representing Mary. And Jupiter was in there, and Jupiter was going to come flying out of there like a baby being born and that kind of dumb stuff. So that's what he meant by woman clothed with the sun. And the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, before we go to the next verse, does anybody know, who can tell me, who is this woman? You don't know who the woman is? Well, then why'd you have your hand up, Tom? I said, can anybody tell me who the woman is? And you said, I don't know who the woman is. Welcome back, Tom. You've been missed. Who's the woman? It is Israel. It's the nation of Israel. Okay, let's take a look. So we're talking about they're talking about the nation of Israel here. It's being pictured now. This is symbolic. This part is being symbolic. The 12 stars then would be who? 12 tribes. Okay. Now, again, you say, well, prove that to me. I would be glad to prove that to you, but not right now. Verse 2. And she, Israel, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Now, who's the child? Jesus. This is the promised Messiah that will be born to a virgin. You know, that again, but the nation of Israel, so Jesus was a Jew, all right? He was being born to Mary and God being his father. Okay, so wait a minute. So is this happening in the past, present, or the future? The past. This has already happened. You all know that Jesus has already been born, yes? Ken, I thank you for being with me here, and I'm a little concerned with Christmas coming up that... that's what it is. Yeah, Christmas isn't here yet, so Jesus hasn't been born. That's what it is. Okay, so this is past, all right? This is in the past, all right? So she being with child, crap. Okay, verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now, who's the red dragon? This is Satan, all right? This is Satan. And there appeared a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his heads, and we talked a little bit about that. So we know this is Satan. Now, so do we know, okay, there appeared another, well, we need the context. Look at verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. And I'll just tell you, the stars are representing those angels that he influenced. And did cast them to the earth, and the dragon, now again, let's get the context here, past, present, or future. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child, Jesus, as soon as it was born. Past, present, or future? Past. right? So notice now, so let's get this timing right then. So when Satan rebelled against God before Adam, we know he did it before Adam, and he also at that time influenced, or at least up until the time of Jesus, he was still influencing some of the angels, wasn't he? Some of the angels were given a choice, okay? They did not have to follow Satan. They didn't have to follow God. They're given a choice just like you and I are. This lesson's about choice, by the way, if you notice the title. They were given a choice. We're all given choices, right? So in the past, he had these angels that followed him, and we believe that. Those, along with demons, which are really disembodied spirits that he has the ability to influence, this is his army that we're talking about here. And so what is the time period when this took place? What does it mean that he was standing before the woman ready to devour her child? What's that talking about? What Bible story? Herod, King Herod. Remember Herod in the days of, you know, we do this at Christmas time. In those days, Herod, you know, attacks, you know, the wise men came and they said to him, hey, where's this child that is born, King of the Jews? And he said, what are you talking about, King of the Jews? He said, whoa, what do you mean, King of the Jews? They said, yeah, we've seen his star. There's a child born, King of the Jews. And what did Herod do? Herod sent soldiers to Bethlehem to kill every boy under the age of 2. He wanted to make sure he got them all. But God had warned Joseph, and Joseph took him to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus grew up. That's why he's referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. So that's the time period. So we're still talking about past time, yes? So Satan rebelled long time in the past. We don't know when. Didn't go to war yet, just rebelled. Influenced some of the angels to go with him. Always was trying to destroy what God planned. That's why he was in the garden, folks. He was in the garden because he wanted to stop God's plan. God created this new being that he called Adam. And he said, this is my... If you read the genealogy in the book of Matthew, you'll find out that the end of it says, and Adam was the son of whom? God. Adam was the son of God. Not like Jesus, but he was... God was his father. God created him. And said, this is going to be different. This man is going to be different from all the other creatures. And God put his spirit in man. Man became a living soul. And we know that's what makes us different. Okay, so this is the time of Christ's birth. Now, when we get to this point then, we now then come to chapter 5. And notice, let's read chapter 5, and you tell me when this takes place. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. Now, who's the man-child? Jesus. To rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, tell me. First of all, past, present, or future? Past. What is this? What period of time is this representing? Bill? Okay. That's part of it. The ascension is mentioned here, right? So from his birth, crucifixion, his ascension, where is he seated now? On the right hand of the Father. So do you see that? So verse 5 covers a 33-year period of time, and then from there forward. That's what this verse is about. So let me take a time out and talk about how do we study prophecy? How do we study the book of the Revelation? Well, it's important that as we're reading here, that we think about time periods in which these verses represent. So those first four verses represented some time way in the past before Adam, leading all the way up until the birth of Jesus. This verse takes us from the birth of Jesus until his ascension back to heaven. We're still not to the present yet, are we? And we're not to the future yet, are we? So this isn't even prophecy, is it? See, not everything in the book of the Revelation is prophecy. This seems like it because it's mysterious. It's symbolic. But this is simply a retelling of the story from Satan's beginning all the way through the ascension of Jesus Christ back to heaven. Beverly, you have a question? Well, some of it is called prophecy, which is actually history told in advance. So we're going to get to that. See, we're getting to the part now that is going to start talking about future. But I think it's just really important that if we're going to be good students of the Bible, and especially these mysterious books, we can't understand this, yes? Now that we've done this, isn't it easy to see what we're talking about here? I mean, now that if you just read through that, though, oftentimes we, it's like, oh, she brought forth a man-child. What? What? But when we take our time and we think about what this is representing, it's pretty obvious this is talking about the birth of Jesus all the way through his ascension. Yes, Vicki. We will. Yeah, but yeah, hang on. Hang on. I've got a plan. Yeah, I don't teach the way that everybody else does. Trust me. And in fact, if you just, in fact, okay, you know, Vicki, that's a good question. Let me answer your question in by saying this. Anybody who teaches the book of the Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 22 and just teaches it just like that as if it's all chronological, teaches it in error. Because it's not that. It's actually the same story told three times, just in cycles. And that's where people get messed up in this book. Because they end up with three Armageddons, they end up with, you know, three raptures and three Armageddons and 3,000-year millennial reigns, and they end up with all these things that they get confused by. So I've got a purpose in how I'm going to teach this, and so this is why we're doing this. All right, so what I wanted you to see was these time periods. So as we read, let's make sure we get the right time period. So this is still past and kind of into the present because Jesus is on the throne. Yes, Julie. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot to tell. Yeah, he sent his angels to earth to destroy Jesus. Yeah, which Adam was the first Adam. Jesus was the second Adam, the Bible says. He's always been doing that. He's always been. Angels, these angels of Satan have always been trying to mess up what God did. Even when God gave them. What's that? Yeah. Okay, so let's move on. All right, so this covers a 33-year period of time. Now then, now we've gone through verse 5. This is talking about the 33-year period of time of Jesus. Now, we're going to actually skip over the present. We're going to fast forward and jump clear over the present age in which we live, which is called the age of grace or the church age. Let me make sure everybody understands this. This is really important. The age in which we live is a very special age. It's called a parenthetical age. In the book of the Revelation, it's not even talked about. It's really not. It is called a parenthetical, as in parentheses, like God put it in parentheses, and it's sort of mysterious. It's different, and that's because God blinded the eyes, the Bible says, of the Jews during this period of time. Do you want to know why the Jews are not following Jesus right now? Because God blinded them. Now, that may sound cruel, but the Bible, that's very clear. The Bible says that. And there's some things that are hard to understand, and they're a different study, but it's a parenthetical time. So we're actually, now, as we move into verse number 6, which is where we're headed next, you'll see that we actually skip over this age in which we live. 2,000 years. It's like it didn't even happen. And the woman, that's Israel, right, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Let me do the math for you. That's 3.5 years. Now, here's where a lot of people get mixed up. They look at this and they say, oh, that's talking about when the nation of Israel was scattered and went all over the place, and they didn't come back together until 1948. That is not what this is talking about. This is fast-forwarding 2,000 years. Now, we left from Jesus' ascension, yes? That's what verse 5 was. So we left that, and now we go 2,000 years into the future now. At some point, you and I, if you're a Christian, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's going to come a day you're going to hear a trumpet. I don't know if the unsaved people hear the trumpet or not, but you're going to hear one. And the Bible says you're going to be caught up into the clouds to be with Jesus. Okay? And when that happens, that ushers in this time period being talked about right here, which is called the tribulation. So the event that takes us out of here, we call it the rapture. Okay, but that's not a Bible word. The Bible word is caught up, and there's several passages talk about that. We will be taken out of here when the church is removed from this earth. Then that ushers in this 7-year period of time called the tribulation. Okay, now I'm going to show you a timeline here in just a second to help you with this. In fact, let's do that now. Let's get the timeline up here. This was something that Matt did for us. I should have brought my pointer here. You've heard me mention my series, His Master Plan, and this is something that probably in January I will do again at a special time, not on Wednesday, but I'll do that again. This is an absolutely critical, if you want to understand the Bible, you must know the principles of His Master Plan. That is just, it will clear up all confusion. It will clear up a lot of things to help us. But I want you to see this very, very quickly. So notice what we have up here. We have this long period of time here, that orange stripe. That is really from Genesis all the way through the Old Testament, all the way up until the time of the cross, really. That's all Old Testament. That's all what we call a time of law. That's a dispensation where man got forgiveness from God by putting his faith in him, but also by obeying a whole bunch of rules. Look, if your children think you got a lot of rules, take them to the book of Leviticus or the book of Deuteronomy and have them read that. Say, here, you think we got a lot of rules in this house because you got to clean your room up and wash some dishes and mow the grass? Check out what these kids did happen to do back in Israel and what all the adults did. That's what that was. So that's that long period of time. Jesus came to put an end to that. And we're going to be talking about that here on Sunday mornings here real soon, and I'm really excited about it. We now live, I do? Huh? Oh. So watch. Right, I can just do this very, very quickly. Oh, okay, we're going to see how this works. All right, you ready? Here we go. Who's got that, Matt? No? Tammy, you got that? Who's got it? Oh, is that you, Pansy? Pansy, are you playing with toys back here? Yeah, thank you. She's getting even with me. I'm like a cat. It's like, okay, here we go. All right, focus now, people. All right, so this period of time right here now, this is called the church age. This is the period in which we live. This is that parenthetical time period we've been talking about that we skipped over. Remember the verse? We skipped over that. Nothing was said in Revelation chapter 12 about that. This represents then where Jesus comes back and he will rapture his people. And this right here, this begins this tribulation period. Can we go to the next slide, Tammy? Let's get that next one up. It's a better. This is now a blow-up. Okay, so now you see this? This is now a blow-up of what we just looked at. So here we have the rapture. The church is gone. We're in the clouds with Jesus. We're going to have something called the judgment seat of Christ, where he is going to give us. You know, we're basically going to be judged for what we did on this earth. Not in a bad way, not to punish us, but anyway, it's a different lesson. At the end of that, then we have, and while all that's going on this earth, is something called the tribulation. That's what this part right here. So we have a 7-year period of time called the tribulation. That's all those things that you read about in the book of the Revelation, all those things that everybody talks about, the Antichrist and, you know, and Armageddon. That's when all that takes place. The tribulation ends with what is truly the second coming of Christ. The rapture is not the second coming of Christ. He doesn't come all the way back to the earth. He comes to the clouds. He brings us to meet him. Armageddon is actually when Jesus returns after the 7 years. That's when there is a war on this earth. Still not the war in heaven. All right? That was a different time. That's actually, I should go back and tell you when that happens. So this is Jesus' second coming. That's when Armageddon takes place. Now, this is a 7-year period of time. So from the beginning, 3.5 years right there, that's where the war takes place in heaven. That's Armageddon, yes, Gog and Magog. So that battle, that war in heaven that we talked about, that's when the Jews flee, yes. Because remember what that verse said? At that period of time, right halfway in this 7 years, there's a war in heaven, and Satan is defeated, and God kicks him out of heaven. He no longer is allowed in heaven. And he is cast to the earth, and he takes his army to the earth, and that's what many of the events that we read about then. You know, they're going to go after the nation of Israel. Satan has been defeated. He knows he has no chance now. He is going to try to kill every last Jew. He's going to try to kill them all. That's why they're given a place to flee to. All right, so that's what we're actually getting to. So let's go ahead and go. All right, so everybody's clear on that. And then we'll get to this later in later lessons. So following Armageddon, then there's a 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where he will, 1,000 years, he will reign on this earth as a king. And Satan will be in the bottomless pit during that time, chained up. All right, that's still not the end, though. But that's for another lesson. So let's go back to some scripture now. So now we're 3.5 years. This is where we're headed, right here. 3.5 years into the tribulation. Let's go back to our text. Look at verse number 7 now, please. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels. Look at verse number 9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. So all those who followed him, God cast all of them out, and they came to earth. All right, verse number 12. So what's the result of that? Therefore rejoice ye heavens. Notice, doesn't say rejoice ye earth. Rejoice ye heavens. Now, you're going to be in heaven at that time. So you can rejoice. He's gone. Woe, though, to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. In fact, how long does he have? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. All right, verse number 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. So he's going to persecute Israel. Verse 14. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. Again, this is symbolic into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. Now, what does that mean? This is that weird language of the Bible. Time is a year, times is 2 years, and half a time is a half. So 3.5 years. Okay? Tom. Well, they don't get killed. They just get defeated. They get defeated and they're cast out. Yeah, they just get defeated. They're eternal beings also. Angels are eternal beings. Yeah, they're going to wish they could die. They wish they could die, but they can't. They're going to suffer forever. What's that? They went to heaven to make war with God. So, where did sin come from? Okay, hold on to that. I'm hoping to have time. I may not get to it, but that's a great question. We'll come back to that. She asked, where did this sin come from in the first place, basically. Okay, let's move on, though, because we got to get to this. So Israel's given a place to go. Yes, Patty? Yeah, you know what? It's more important to answer your question. It really is. I want to take your question, so go ahead. Okay, she is... that means she's away from. In other words, Satan is she. There, Satan has no longer access to them. In other words, you know, like he's no longer in their face. Okay, he has been. This is a place that, I've heard, and I don't know if we could prove this or not. I've heard the word Petra is used, that rock formation outside. There's people that say that is what is referred to as the place where they'll go, and they'll be based there. I don't know what it is, but I know that God is going to give them a place to go. Place to flee to where they can be kept physically safe. They'll still be persecuted, but they can be kept physically safe. And what's going to happen is Satan, just to kind of give you the story, just give away the ending, he's going to close in. And just as he has Israel surrounded in that last time, that's when Jesus comes back and saves them. It's a great story. I mean, it really is. It makes for great books, you know, like Left Behind. That's kind of where that, you know, all was headed. Okay, so let's move on here. So they're given this place. Serpent cast out of his mouth. This is just kind of some, again, imagery. I'm just going to skip this part, actually. I think this is where he tries to flood the earth and get them and so on, but the earth's going to help. So anyway, they're going to be divinely protected. So here we go. Now, why are we discussing this now? Because I said this is Revelation in reverse. Last week we went to the end, or the end of the world. We saw Jesus in his final state of glory. I just a few minutes ago talked to you about his beginning, and now talked to you about a hint at the beginning. We're looking at what happens in the middle here. So now let's get the whole bookend story by going back to the beginning. To do that, we go to Genesis chapter 2. Not Genesis chapter 1, but Genesis chapter 2. And let's read. Verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Now this takes place right after Genesis 1. And oftentimes we read this and we think, oh, this is talking about the creation week. You know, the heavens and the earth were finished. Well, actually, it doesn't say that. Does it say the creation of the heavens and the earth were finished? No. It says the heavens and the earth were finished. This is a verse that gives us a big picture verse. This is God saying, in my mind, I now see the whole thing. This is God's mind being projected, saying, okay, the whole plan is now complete and in place. And I'll show you that. Let's go ahead and take a look at verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. We read this, and people have always read this, and they think that God spent day one creating this, and day two creating that, and day this, and in 6 days, God wore himself out. Oh, man, am I glad that's over. Wow, was that a tough job. No, that's not at all what that means. Let's break this down a little bit, and for the time that we have left, let's break this down. So notice the word finished, first of all. The word finished is actually the Hebrew word kala. I gave that on to you on your study guide. Very quickly, let me just give you these very, very quickly here. This word finished appears hundreds of times in Scripture in the Old Testament. But I want you to see sometimes the best way to know what a word means is not to think about it in terms of the way we use it, because we use words differently today, yes? And so we oftentimes just want to look at how else is it used in Scripture. So I'm going to show you how else it's used in Scripture. Now you tell me, does it sound like he's sitting down, kick back with a glass of iced tea? All right, you ready? Here we go. So 57 times this word finished means consume. So if we put that in there, can we go back to verse 1, please? Thank you. Thus the heavens and the earth were consumed. All right? It also means end. Heavens and the earth were ended. 20 times it means finished. Finished. 18 times it uses the word fail. It uses the word accomplished. It's used the word done, spend, ended, determined, away, fulfilled, destroyed, faint, left, waste. These are all some of the uses of that same Hebrew word. It doesn't mean that something just came to an end. What it means, it has this connotation of there's much more about that. We learn a little bit more when we then look at the words host, the host of them. Notice, the heavens and the earth were finished. And by the way, and we won't take the time to do this, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven, singular. This is talking about heavens, plural. Different thing. All right, so back to this host of them. Right, what does the word host mean? Well, it's the Hebrew word saba, which if you look at what I gave to you, I gave it to you. Look at all those words. Do those sound like the little naked babies with an arrow that we think of as cherubs? Does that look like the Renaissance paintings of, you know, long white, flowing, you know, these angels, you know, like the picture of the angel following the child across the bridge? Have you seen that? You know, guardian. That doesn't sound like them, does it? These were angelic soldiers. These were warriors. These were angels that God created for war. For war. These are angelic warriors. And so what we have here is we have this picture now that developing of, you know, these, why would God create soldier? Why would God create angel warriors if he wasn't planning for war? See, there you go. See, and in the mind of God, God knew all that. God sees all this. God knew what was going to happen. God knew what Lucifer would do. God, he knew he would rebel. God knew there'd be a war in heaven. God knew that he would take a third of those angels with him and compel them to follow. God knew all of that. And so he created them all. He created them to be warrior beings. And so we won't do verse number 4. Number 4 just has to do with generations. We're going to skip to the big question here, because we're going to have to end with this, and I'm not going to be able to give you everything today. We'll pick it up next week. So that brings us to the big question. If God created all these beings in the beginning, I mean, way, way, way back, before Adam, before the garden, if he created them all and he knew they were going to rebel, if he knew Satan was going to rebel, and he knew that some of the angels would follow him, why did he create them in the first place? Why would he create a being that he knew would rebel? That he knew would try to kill his son, that he knew would lead people and would convince people to follow, that he knew thousands of years in the future, which isn't a big deal to God, but nevertheless, thousands of years, would make war in heaven. Why would he create him in the first place, knowing the horrific things that would happen on this earth? Why did he do it? Well, I'm going to tell you why I think. You go ahead and answer very quickly. We got 1 minute. Go ahead. It did have to do with it. It has everything to do with that. I'm going to just leave you with this. God created all those terrible things because he is good. Now that, some of you are going, huh? That doesn't make any sense. It will next Wednesday, and I'm going to stop right there. So you can write in there, God is good. And we'll pick it up. I will start somewhere around there next week. I love you. Thank you for being here. Please come Saturday night for Experience Hope. Bring your friends. Bring your friends. Tell your friends about Experience Hope. Hey, how many of you are on social media? Just quickly. Please put